This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
You're listening to K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m.
And a very good afternoon to our K Pulpit listeners here. We're so excited to have all of you listening to us this afternoon. And we are coming to you live from K Pulpit Studios. And we are excited this afternoon because we have special guests here that are with us, and they're going to really be blessing us this afternoon. But before we get into that, we've got an important topic this afternoon, and it's really about for June. We've finished with May. We spoke about anxieties and mental issues and stuff that people go through, emotional things, and so this month of June, we're going to be speaking about keeping love strong while leading others. So it's basically love first, prioritizing your marriage in ministry. And so I'm excited about that. We have Pastor Willy and Joni Solomons, really powerful couple. And we're going to learn from them this afternoon. If you're listening, we want you to tune in and just glean from these fields, you know, that as they are busy sharing from their own experience, from their hearts, you know, there's no perfect couple here. My wife and I are here, and, you know, being couples of destiny, we can testify that, you know, every day we get up and we make it better than the previous day. We fall at times, but we never fail. The failure is the one that doesn't get up, right? So I want to encourage you this afternoon just to stay tuned. We'll have a few scriptures that we'll read, and we'll get into some questions that we'll have for our couple this afternoon. So I'm Calvin.
And I'm Terry, and this is
Couples of Destiny. So we're going over to a song break, and by Jeremy Camp. It's called The Answer.
Uplifting talk, hopeful tunes, and you. Okay, Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m.
We are so excited to have a special guest here this afternoon, Pastor Willy and Joni Solomons. They're really going to bless us this afternoon. We're talking about prioritizing your marriage in ministry. And I know that's a difficult thing to do, especially if you're depending on what ministry you're in, Pastor Willy. And so we're just going to, you know, give you an opportunity this afternoon. Just tell us a little bit about yourselves and your ministry so that the listeners can just get a picture of the two of you, if possible. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you for having us here this morning. My wife and I, we are the pastoral couple at a church called Mirtaboom. It's based in Fergrove, next to the N2, in the Western Cape. And we belong to a church called Lateran Mission International. We previously have worked in the Northern Cape, and we got called to the Western Cape 4 years ago. And I just love being in this beautiful province. And we have a beautiful, spirit-filled congregation at Mirtaboom and a supportive leadership team.
That's awesome. That's so beautiful, Pastor. And we're so encouraged, you know, because I believe God has given the church diverse gifts. Mm. And we all have a story to tell, every single one of us. And my wife, myself, different backgrounds. And so I believe you've got a story to tell this afternoon to encourage our listeners out there. And there's just a scripture I want to just open up with, if possible. And it's in 1 Peter 4, verse 8. It says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. In fact, this week I spoke a little bit about love. I spoke about you know, knowledge puffs up, but then you have the love aspect at the end of it. Because I believe, you know, knowledge will give you insight, but love will give you healing at the end of the day. And so we need to focus on that, especially in our busyness, and we all have busy lives. And so maybe just, you know, if we get into stuck into some questions this afternoon, and I'll let my wife lead as well this afternoon, because she spent a little bit more time with you, I believe, as well. But if there's just a question that I could ask this afternoon is, you know, your ministry has is quite a large footprint, I believe, South Africa or Africa, wherever it takes you in the nation. How do you manage this, and how do you actually survive?
Mm-hmm. I think what helps is prior to us being full time in ministry, we have had professional jobs, and also the nature of our previous professions really helps us. It helps us, you know, to get a grip on the self before I get a grip on my life with my wife, because for me to sustain my marriage, I need to be able to tend to me first.
Right.
That's so vital. And yeah, I think how we get it right is probably, you know, at times I don't even know, God, how did we get through this?
Right.
How are we still making it? But one thing that I have seen is without Christ, you cannot do it. And I think because we know the Lord and we serve Him, we love Him, and He has called us, I think that is our anchor. That is our anchor of being able to make it and to conquer.
Right, right. That's so incredible. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, what specific tools do you use basically at the end of the day? You know, it's one thing we say Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we depend on Christ.
Mm.
But it's like faith. Faith is practical. Mm. I can say I have faith today, but there's a step that I have to take, a physical step. Mm. So what are the practical things that you could possibly share in that you've said, you know, it's great, we've got Christ.
Mm.
But what are the practical things?
I think on a more linear level, a human level, I would say open communication.
It's right.
To speak the ugly truth to each other, to have congruent and open conversations. And at times, it hurts. The truth always does. It hurts. But allowing each other that space to become vulnerable. I mean, my wife is the first person I would go to if something really bothers me.
Right.
And if I feel stuck emotionally.
Yeah.
I would call time out. Communication for me is vital.
Yes.
But once you're not willing to talk about things as a couple, avoidance kills and just to create a space where you are willing to talk hardcore, painful narrative, to respectfully saying to cut the bull from the bone and to know what is that thing in the bushes.
Mm.
What is that thing that keeps you stuck?
Mm.
What is the source of you bleeding emotionally as a person? Because my wife should know if I am stuck emotionally, if I am hurt, if I'm not okay. She should know that.
Yeah,
because obviously she sees it. She knows when I'm not okay. So I can't lie to her. And for me to give words to that, to express that, that brings healing.
Yeah. I like what you said, speak the ugly truth. Because sometimes it's not a nice thing to be honest, because you're speaking about an area that can shock your spouse. You know, it's like many times we in conversation, my wife and I, and she'll say, and I'll mention something to a couple in the conversation, something that maybe just bugged me or whatever the case may be. And afterwards, she'd say to me, "But you never told me that." And she's completely shocked. "I never knew you felt that way." And it's so true in what you're saying, because I spoke the ugly truth, but I spoke it, maybe we might have been too busy that I didn't even share it with her, and I spoke it about it in company with someone else, and she was quite shocked, and that was the ugly truth. But we could talk about it thereafter.
Mm.
And she started making adjustments in her own life as well to accommodate me, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's very difficult. And I mean, sometimes you got to be so careful on how you respond and where you respond. I mean, I couldn't respond in that group because they would like, don't you do talk, you know. Many couples assume, or people just assume, the congregants assume, oh no, I told Apostle that, so they think I would know. And we have this problem a lot. You probably have the same thing. You know, Joni, I don't know if you know, where people will say, oh, but I spoke to Pastor about it. And
that's absolutely true. Yeah. And it's like you say, you can't now in front of the congregation, not expose it, but speak about that. Because with our busy lives, you take into consideration that we will miss some things. The same for him. There might be times that somebody told me something. And in the busyness of everyday life, you just forget to mention it to him. So you learn to cope with that and understand it also with that maturity, that it's not possible with, because even though we all together in this ministry, we also, you need to tend to your house. I mean, there's different roles that you have to fulfill, and each one of these little caps on your head, you need to balance it. And so there will get times when even within the open and honest communication, things will be left behind.
Yeah, it will fall off the table.
I just want to add on that, in addition to what you were saying, I think that is the essence of love, is even in me feeling disregarded. You know, the one spouse feeling disregarded, feeling I did not know. Then love overcomes that. Love forgives. Because I love my wife, even though, although I was not informed, although I felt left out, but because I love my wife, I would buy into whatever way she's going. So I would suspend my needs to be acknowledged, or what I would suspend in that moment when we're in the meeting with the congregation or with friends, the not knowing part.
Yeah.
And I would support my wife in whatever she's saying, because that's real love. It's trusting each other. It's not a good feeling. But love is deep.
but that is love.
I take the gloves out.
Yeah, absolutely.
You share everything at the end of the day. And I love you enough to tell you the truth. It's as simple as that. I love you enough to tell you how I am feeling, even though you might react differently, 100%. But I'm giving you my view. This is how I see it.
Something happened once, and we were in a group. And I made such a huge mistake. I asked for feedback. And sometimes you don't know what to expect, but from the group. And the feedback was harsh. It was unapologetic. They really were throwing arrows at me. And I felt the impact of that. And I looked at my wife, and she sat there. But I think she was also just...
you don't expect that. How do you come back from something like that?
But then I had the conversation that night with my wife, and I said, and I cried. I was emotionally congruent. And I had the conversation with her, and I said, you know, I felt alone. I felt abandoned. I felt hurt. Because if we talk about love in the true sense of love, is when one gets hurt, the other one should feel impact that. As well. Should share that. I bleed with you. If you are bleeding, we are bleeding.
Like that.
That's true. We're getting stuck into quite a bit of stuff this afternoon, speaking about these relationship challenges that we have, and love being the key. So I want to encourage listeners, if you're online this afternoon, please connect with us on our Facebook. I already got a message here on Facebook saying, from Levika, saying, God definitely an anchor for us as individuals, but in our marriages. And Levika says, further communication is definitely key. We have to go over to a song break, but please stay with us and give us your feedback on
Facebook.
Share
the broadcast.
Share the broadcast as well. We're going over to a song by Chris Tomlin called I Will Follow. Couples of Destiny here, we're talking about love first. Prioritizing your marriage in ministry. For those of you that are in ministry, and maybe you're out there and you're not in ministry, but you're in business or anything else, because your marriage is important. So you've got to prioritize your marriage. And we're talking to a wonderful couple here, Pastor Willie and his wife, Joni. They've shared some really important nuggets. And honey, you had a question for them.
Yeah, no, look, I think, you know, that topic on communication always comes up with couples. And I think it's vital because they still are couples that don't communicate. Mm. You know, I feel like I always say to couples, if you can't talk to them, at least write to them. You have text, you have WhatsApp. Yeah. Send them a TikTok video of yourself or do something silly. Mm. Just communicate. There's many ways, you know, or say, write a letter, whatever the thing is. So between counseling others, prepping sermons, planning events, and being there for everyone else, sometimes our own marriage can run on empty. You know, and this particular topic today, you know, we talk about how we can slip up, how through weariness and tension, just plain busyness, can we miss things, we miss communications, we miss each other's cues maybe, or sometimes we don't have a filter when we say something. It's just because we are so busy, you know. And the truth is that marriage is ministry too. We all get so busy, there's always a lot of tasks at hand and all of that. Possibly, do you think a man can multitask?
I think it's possible. I think it's being in ministry, you just have to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because unfortunately, you don't have the luxury of tending to one aspect of church work or personal work. You just have to, I mean, shuffle around. You have to do three, four things in one day. Mm. I don't get it right all the time. But definitely you have to, unfortunately. It's a mammoth task. And I guess women are better at it. My wife is better at it than me. Because I would do things but not complete it fully. And sometimes when you have meetings with the leadership in church, then some of the sisters would say, that thing is still hanging, it's pending. You need still to complete that.
How do you balance that? I mean, because it's coming back to communication now, because I'm a man and I understand 100% what you're saying. So how do you balance that to make sure that all the tick boxes are covered? Because I can tell you what has happened in the past in our relationship. And my wife put her foot down. I gave a lot of the work to her because she's a multitask person. I just couldn't at the end of the day. But she put her foot down at some point. And she said, I'm sorry. I cannot do everything for you. You've got to take some accountability for certain things. How do you do that and balance that in your relationship?
I think that's this another narrative I want to put on the table. It's like popularity versus intimacy.
Okay.
It's I had to choose whether I want to be popular. Whether I wanna, you know, be this excellent or great leader who have all dots connected, and then lack in my me time, my time being available at home and being there when my wife needs me, or even my time with the Lord.
I would
know that. Listen, this is a time I need to wake up. For me to prepare for the day so that I can be spiritually, emotionally and cognitively ready for whatever lies ahead of this day. I get it right by functioning more on the intimate level instead on the popularity level. Because I've seen that leaders who were striving for popularity and being more out there for other people, for the congregation, for communities, And at the end of the day, you feel so empty and there's this void inside of you and you feel detached, abandoned. And sometimes we blame God. We say, Father, but where are you? I don't feel you. I feel unloved and I don't have the fuel to lead from a cup that is running over. But it's and I've seen it in my own life. It's the early days of leadership when I was like and running, rushing through, being more other-centered. And at the end of the day is I failed to deeply and attentively listen to what the Holy Spirit is up to in Willie's life. And where he's taking me, what he's busy with in my life. And if I cannot gauge where the Lord is at in my life, I will not be able to be present on an emotional level for my wife. I will not be able to be sensitive to and to take wherever she is at unconditionally. That has been a very complicated one, and it's still a work in progress. I mean, I still don't get it right.
We still don't get it right. I think it comes back to having spiritual and emotional maturity.
Yeah.
Because I think something that was profound for me when we got married, we were like 6 months married when we got called into ministry. And for me as a wife, who's now in my honeymoon phase, I had a lot of private time with the Lord. Because I didn't even speak to these things to him, because I was taught from my family, the mentors, speak to the Lord. So I tried to use my private time with the Lord to see what is it. Is it something that I can remedy here? Is it really something that I need to bring up? And we had a discussion and to sort out this issue. And I learned quickly that when you're in ministry, fortunately and maybe also unfortunately, you have to be other-centered, even though you're also tending to yourself.
The package, yeah.
So it's a dual. You have to be always
available for this.
Yes.
Incredible.
But in doing so, it's because sometimes you as the spouse gets frustrated. Because when we got married and we got called into our marriage at an early stage, into leadership, and I got stuck at some stage and I said, but how are we going to do this? Because it's two different personas. I'm a people's person. I love people. I get recharged by being with people. My wife on the other side, she gets recharged by alone time.
Yeah.
And hence I had to grasp that and to respect that, and to say, Father, what is it that Willie needs in his life? What am I needing? What is it that the Lord want to teach me through the life of my spouse? What can I learn from her? In retrospect, what can she learn from me? And I know there was this one thing in our marriage early years. We've had this competition of who is the most humble person. This whole narrative of humility was huge. Because I just had this need of saying, like, who's going to serve more this week? Who's going to be more available for the other one? And it worked. I mean, we talked about it. We really had open conversation among ourselves and said, okay, but where were you at this week? Who won this week? But when my wife gave the answer, she always won.
Yay! No, I used to say that the time you're still inquiring, like, who is the most humble person, then you know you're not.
Exactly, exactly. Mirror, mirror on the wall, eh? We're really having an awesome topic and discussion this afternoon, and you're just lighting up Facebook. Yeah, I'm telling you, people are just enjoying this conversation. Station manager Musa says, wow, what an awakening topic. Marriage is our first ministry. Praise God. Well, we're encouraging you, please just send us your messages. Continue sending us your messages. We'd love to hear from you. We're going to go over to our song break, and then we're going to come back with another slot and continue with this. It's Torren Wells, When We Pray. Pamela, we're having such an awesome discussion this afternoon. Love first, prioritizing, you know, your marriage in ministry and even in business and whatever else that you're doing. And we've received such beautiful nuggets. Lavika says on Facebook here, love that, popularity versus intimacy. I mean, that you can just dig in so much deeper. And isn't it so in the churches that there's this, it's so clearly visible. You can see when someone wants to be popular versus they're actually intimate with God at the end of the day. And And that is such a powerful thing. You can make a whole message out of that. So thank you for sharing that with us, Pastor Willie and Joni. You know, just maybe if we continue with a question. And this is something that that ministered to me. And it's one day I was sitting down and I just heard this, and I believe it's the Holy Spirit says that said to me that ministry will not respect your time. Ministry will use you. Ministry will drive you. Ministry will cause you. And we think that because we just, it's ministry, 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 ministry. But you forget about, at the end of the day, it's coming back to that intimacy part. Because sometimes you need to draw the line. And it's like you said, Joni, you know, you're doing this balancing act and you have, it's your spouse and then there's also people and what. But you have to draw the line in ministry. So in saying that, you know, ministry is a workhorse, and at times we seldom separate it from our marriage. How do you separate ministry from marriage without causing either to suffer?
I think the calling of ministry is a noble calling, and we don't want to lose that.
Yeah.
We don't want to lose that beauty of being called to serve. It's such an honor to serve in ministry.
Yeah.
But like you said, rightfully so. It's once you feel drained and overwhelmed by, listen, I don't have time for me time. I don't have time for my family time.
Yeah.
You know, just plan that. And you find yourself at a place of desolation where you feel empty, where you feel I'm running dry. I think every moment, in the meantime, every moment should matter. Every moment of every day should matter.
And
whatever I'm doing, I should do it to the glory of God.
Yeah.
It should be an intimate moment. If I speak to someone on the phone, it should be a beautiful moment. I should be in the moment.
Yeah.
I should enjoy the moment. But the moment, the time, and that is where we get stuck with prioritizing. When we don't enjoy the moment, it doesn't matter what we're doing. But if I don't enjoy what I'm doing, then I start counting.
Yeah.
Because then it becomes a burden. But in whatever I am doing, whether I'm going to do something with the youth, whether I'm going to prepare for a sermon, whether I'm going to spend time with my children, if every moment is a joyful experience, I mean, if you look at Jesus, his life was about his Father.
Yes.
But I guess every moment mattered for him. So for me, I have just redefined that for me, because at some stage I felt so overwhelmed by I need to find time for myself. I need to find a space of recharging, a space of just being. And then I said to myself, instead of looking for those moments, why don't you just make the moments that you have in your diary count?
And that's so powerful, you know, just prioritizing that and taking care of it. You know, I like what you said. You know, we get stuck with prioritizing, and it's important that you, what is important, you know, what is important for today. If we look at our relationships as a ministry, we look at the vehicle of ministry being the church and everything else. At the end of the day, we need to get our priorities right.
You go first.
No, it's okay.
It's also about mindset. It's about mindset. It's about, even if I have to deal with a serious matter or a painful matter, mindset. If my mindset is like, I want this person to leave feeling better, and I want to feel better as well, then the moment will be a beautiful moment.
Yeah. I think everything we do is so intentional. You know, setting dates or times for board meetings or operational meetings or whatever, if we can do that, we can schedule time for us time.
Right.
You know, put in the calendar, we're going on a coffee date today. Or today, you are taking me to lunch. Or look at here, you bought me a bunch of flowers, you know. He doesn't do that. I buy it and I let him pay. You know, so.
Still gets the flowers.
It's intentional because, you know, he does want to do it, but he's... desires and abilities, I know, sometimes are miles apart because his time is so hard pressed at this moment through what he's going through with his company, with the work, you know, and I have to honor and respect that, although it sometimes makes me feel like I'm being rejected and I'm
neglected
and isolated and all of that. But I know it's just for a season, you know, so we're still there for each other. But emotionally, we check in and we have a conversation because I know the pressure of his work. So we balancing work, ministry, and relationship.
Beautiful.
And then there's children, you know, spiritual children, be it your own natural children or spiritual children. I don't know how you do it, Joni. Sometimes I feel like your problem can't awake me at 2 o'clock in the morning. If it was there okay for the past 2 days, maybe you can call me tomorrow morning. You know, it's not so urgent at 2 o'clock. Do you still get those kind of calls?
No, we don't. Fortunately not. But yeah, I think it also, I think it boils down to also educating the flock and respecting each other's times. Mm. And also speaking back to that popularity, sometimes people can take you in the position of God. And that's the thing where you have to create that boundary because you're mentoring them and leading them to Jesus as the source of everything. So I think in that, with the prioritizing and the balancing, it's you must be mindful to intentionally guide them towards Jesus as the answer and not you becoming the answer or the 911 button.
Yeah. No, that's true. And we always say to them, you know, whatever you need is already on the inside of you. Mm. You've been given the tools. You've been taught. I'm not talking about young Christians now, so we still have to navigate through that. But there are, you know, you were speaking about ministry and the load and the pressure we sometimes feel as leaders. And having a great team in place, I feel like your leadership is key. You know, having them do what they need to do, fulfilling their roles makes our jobs easier because our jobs is basically to spend more time doing research, preparing for the word on a Sunday so that they can get good meat. And it takes a while. It's not just a matter of dropping it on a Saturday evening or Sunday morning when I have a word. You know, you prepare.
Of course. Mm.
And I don't think people realize that until they come into Bible school or do a leadership training or ministry training where they realize all of those things. So ministry couples often give their time and energy to everyone else and not always carve out intentional space for themselves, you know, and that is where the intimacy falls out of the way, the communication falls by the wayside, and the enemy looks at, the Bible even talks about it, you know, I mean, Jesus, in Matthew 6:31, he come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Even Jesus encouraged retreat for renewal. Mm. He says, come and take rest, to take time, prioritize time to refresh your relationship. Mm. We haven't been away in a while because I'm just waiting on his project to finish, but we scheduled time to get away out of the city for 2 weeks at a time, just go up on the coast and just go and switch off our phones and just be alone, you know? And that is our time to restart. It's like with in the spiritual realm as well, people want revival, but they don't want to go to a step down or a rehab to fix up their soul. Mm. And that's why revival doesn't stay, because people are too messed up in their soul. Mm. They have revival for a moment. And say, that was a great revival service. I can't wait for the next one. Well, wait for the next one. You can run on that full tank until your soul is being
that's
healed.
So true.
You know,
we're having an awesome time this afternoon. Judy Dico says, "Love the conversation. Very insightful, and definitely agree that your marriage should be prioritized in order to be effective in the kingdom." Mm. Thank you for that, Judy. We got to go over to song break, and when we come back, we're going to be closing out. So please send your messages in. Don't miss out this afternoon. Really great stuff happening. It's Freddie Vessels, Sing Out to Jesus. And very good afternoon to everyone. And we are listening to Pastor Freddie and his wife, Joni, and they've really been giving us awesome nuggets. Pastor Willie. Willie, sorry. Willie, I'm Afrikaans. I'm going to say Willie. So, maybe it's just some closing thoughts, Pastor Willie. You've said so much, but maybe just some closing thoughts. There are people out there that they need to hear some more of this.
Yeah. I think if there's one thing that's important for me in marriage is how Christ makes me feel. He makes me feel affirmed. He makes me feel loved. And that is what is so important in love, in marriages, to be affirmed.
Mm.
And that helps also to preempt conflict and your spouse not feeling loved. It's to affirm your spouse. Mm. Affirmation is so crucial in marriage. And the cry of my heart is that couples who listen, who are tuned in, and to feel affirmed, to feel loved. And I think that is why Christ came to become the covenant, because of love, to took our burdens upon himself. And if you are maybe in marriage and you feel unloved, the beauty of it is that marriage comes from Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's blessed by Christ. And he loves you. And if you run on low, you start loving first. And your spouse will love you back.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, love first. Love unconditionally. Your home is your first ministry. You know, people want to love outside and love everyone else, and they forget to love their own family, their own spouse. You know, the 1 Timothy 3:4 says, he must manage his own household well. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church?
Mm.
You know? So we need to start at home. Charity begins at home. Leading well at home qualifies you to lead well in ministry.
Amen.
And I think that is the key for today. And I really appreciate what you said there. You know, I hope and know that this word and these nuggets that you've shared has blessed so many people who are listening. You know, Joni, it's been a real honor to have you guys on with us.
Yeah, it's been blessed being here.
Yeah, so we look forward to seeing you guys again, and we will definitely have them on again, because faith and family matters. You know, this is so key. Share this episode with family and friends that you know in ministry and in relationships. Sometimes we miss one another.
That's true.
But make sure that you make that time together.
Yeah.
Set that date night.
Wow. Set that date night. How are you going to prioritize, those that are listening, how are you going to prioritize your marriage in ministry this week from what you've learned from this precious couple?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to say bye-bye. So long. We will be back next week, Wednesday, between 12 and 1. And so please stay tuned. And if you can share this broadcast as well from your Facebook, let someone be encouraged. If you know of a struggling marriage out there, they need to hear some of these nuggets. They just said during break that they wish they had more time, because there's just so much more that they want to share.
Yeah.
And there's more that coming. I'm saying this to everyone, there's more coming. Yeah. So stay tuned. There's a lot happening at this radio station, but be encouraged. It's all good things. Amen.
Yeah.
So we're going to be signing out now with Zach Williams with a song called There Was Jesus and Dolly Parton.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.